So as we say the word amen, what are we saying? We're claiming at the end in a moment of agreement, saying, God, let it be so. Let it be so. Amen is not simply a church word to close the service and move on to the next item. Right? Amen is your opportunity to say, I agree with what it is that was spoken, and I agree and I will stand that what it is that was said in that moment of prayer, that God will make it so. And so men, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous in what it is that God has called you to. But be meek and humble as God himself was also meek and humble. As Jesus lived and walked on this earth, he was not looking to make a name for himself. He was simply trying to the best of his ability to reveal properly who the Father truly was and walk in accordance. Let that be our goal as well, to know the Father on a deep and personal level. That we would walk into every different situation, whether it be in your homes, whether it be in your workplace, whether it be just you and God together, and say, look, this is the Father. When you look at me, don't see me, see the Father. This is exactly how Jesus lived and exactly what it is that he wants for us. And so Men's Strong Conference 2025 was so, so good. If you weren't there, you saw some images. You're hearing right now just the overflow of exactly what it is that was happening on that weekend, a call to strength and not strength in ourselves. It's really important. There's a lot of men in this room that are tired because they've been leaning too much on their own strength. They've been told so many times, just tough it out. You're fine. It's okay. You'll make it. It's not that big of a deal. But we're reminded this weekend not to lean on our own strength, but the strength that's found in Christ. And so if you're here today and you're tired, stop. Stop trying to do what only God can do. Oh, somebody needed that today. If you're here this morning and you're tired, ladies, I'm speaking to you too. You can receive this as well. If you're here this morning and you're tired, stop trying to do what you can do and lean in on the true strength that comes from Christ, for he is the only one that can transform your families. He's the only one that can restore your marriage. He's the only one that can properly raise those children that you have been asked to steward. He is the only one that can bring you to a moment of salvation. He's the only one that can forgive your sins. He's the only one that can empower you to do the things that you know that he's asking you to do. And you've told him, just like Moses did, God, I'm not strong enough. He's like, I didn't. Oh, okay. Come here, Aaron. You got to speak for this guy, right? He's the only one that can do it. It's God and God alone. Brothers and sisters, if your area of influence is going to be transformed, it's not going to be because of you. I heard some people say amen. Some people said, well, Pastor Mitch, you don't know my giftings. It's pretty good over here. It's pretty good. I know you can't sing, Pastor Mitch, but I can sing. It's so good. Listen, if your area of influence is going to be transformed, it's not going to be because of you. God wants to use you as a vessel. You get the opportunity to stand in awe. That's your part to play. Your part to play is to open your eyes, open your ears, open your heart and say, God, what is it that you want to do? Give me the words. Allow me to stand in. Just let me be an example. God, even if I don't get to see it, and I hear those words, well done, I'm good. But you will not transform your area of influence. You will simply be used to stand in the midst, to stand in the gap so that God can do his work. All of the glory, all of the honor, all of the praise is unto him. Why? Because without him, there is nothing worth glorifying. There is nothing worth praising, and there is nothing worth giving our worship to. It's him and him alone, church. He's the only one that can save your family and your friends. Your opportunity to stand in that moment and reflect and properly represent who God is will play a crucial part. That's why you're here today. He's called you first. He's touching your heart first. He wants to reveal himself to you first. But it's also that every single person, so that the entire world will have the opportunity to say, that is my Savior. One day we know, come on, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. There is coming a time, and we don't know the when, we don't know the moment, but there is coming a time where God will fully reveal himself to all of creation, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, that is God. Why? Because even right now, he is revealing himself to each and every person. Whether they choose to recognize him or not is that personal decision. But no one will look on the face of the Father and say, wait, who is that? No, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Because the Holy Spirit is at work. Do you believe it? Even in your worst enemy, do you believe it? This is the work of God, is that those who you love, he loves more. And those who you hate, he loves. And has called us to do the same. To stand in the gap and to simply represent his son to the best of our ability. I don't know how much of this we're going to do. Oh my word. All right. Church Strong Conference was incredible. And our prayer truly, as pastors this morning, is that it wouldn't be left there. If you were unable to go to Strong Conference because of financial issues, let this be your 1 year in advance encouragement. Don't let finances keep you at home next time. We will help you. We will get you there. We will make it happen. If you weren't able to make it because you had other prior engagements, first weekend of November, book it off now, right? I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's going to be right in around that time. Book it off. You need to be there. If you weren't there because you made that choice to simply stay at home, let this be your challenge. Don't do it again. Come and join us. Come and sit in that space. Even if you walk in and you yourself aren't personally transformed, to stand in awe of what God is doing in the lives of your brothers here at such a time as this, you don't want to miss that. For those of you that were unable to make it, though, I believe that there is going to be an overflow of what God did, so that even if you weren't there personally and physically on the weekend, you can still receive the blessing that God is pouring out, because he's not going to leave it on Friday and Saturday. What was started there on that weekend will continue throughout the year. And so we are calling all of our men in this room, not just those who are in attendance, but all of our men to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And may he renew a right spirit within you. Let's pray. And then I'll use prayer as a transition to get in here somehow. Let's pray. So God, all of these words that were spoken, all of these things that were done, God, we lay them at your feet and say thank you. God, we take our crowns from our heads right now, all the giftings that you've given us, all the miraculous things that you've done, all the incredible moments that we've seen and what it is that we have endured, even the declaration that we belong to you, God, that we are princes and princesses, God, that we've been invited and included, God, grafted in to this royal kingdom. God, we take these crowns and we lay them at your feet, for you are the only one who are worthy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for bestowing on us such great honors and so much love, that you would place these crowns on our heads. But God, we just figuratively right now in the throne room, God, we take them from our heads and place them at your feet, because you are the only one who deserves glory and honor and worship. And so, God, I pray that what it is that you started, that you would bring about to completion. God, I pray that there would be such deep heart work that would happen through this year, that next year at Strong Conference, there would be testimony after testimony after testimony of how things just aren't the same. It's just not the same. Because you change everything, God. And so, Lord, have your way today as we dig into the book of Isaiah. Lord, we honor you and we thank you for HeartStrong. We thank you for this journey through scripture that you have us on. May we dig into the revelation of the Messiah and the redemption, Lord God, that has come and is still being poured out. And may we step boldly into this story, But also, Lord God, may we step boldly as the story continues right now in 2025. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. So for the men on the weekend, I'm sure you're impressed already. There's no tears. If you were there on Strong Weekend, I cried so much that I went home yesterday and sat down and just fell asleep. And I woke up and I literally was praying. I said, God, are you going to make me cry again today? So we're not done yet. It might happen. But it was like every time I grabbed the microphone. And yeah, just an incredible, incredible time. So those of you that were with us, thank you so much. Those of you that were praying, thank you so much. And may God continue to do his work. In a synopsis of the book of Isaiah, Holman says this, that the book of Isaiah is a collection of oracles declaring the people's sin against God, their need for repentance in light of impending judgment and future restoration. Over the last few weeks, as we've sat in the book of Isaiah, we have walked through chapter 1 through 39, the prophecies from the prophet of Isaiah to the people of Israel of God's impending judgment because of their constant and consistent rebellion. Now we enter into the prophecy, the declaration that God will not simply leave them in their rebellion, right? That the judgment that is coming, the exile, that they will very shortly after Isaiah declares these prophecies that the Israelite people will actually have to endure the exile. It is punishment, it is consequence for the rebellion, but God's desire is to not leave his children exiled. God's desire is never to leave his children lost. He never wants to leave us in a state of disconnection from him. He never wants to leave us in a state of separation from him. It is always God's desire that we would return, that we would come back, and he always makes a way. Hallelujah. And so Isaiah chapter 40 all the way to chapter 66 is God's opportunity through the prophet Isaiah to spread hope and assure them of a coming Messiah. And it's not an accidental Messiah, amen? Well, as God begins to speak these prophetic words, he knows exactly who it is that he's describing. Jesus in the Old Testament is the best. Don't you love that? Haven't you enjoyed that? For those of you that are new here in Kanata and our campuses in Orleans and in Cornwall, we're on a 3-year journey through Scripture. And we've been sitting in the Old Testament now for quite some time. And the Old Testament, one of my favorite things in it is seeing Jesus pop out of the stories. Whether it's Moses or some of the prophets who are writing these chapters, these books, or Samuel or whoever it is, to see Jesus begin to pop out. And as they're writing these things, they're hearing all of this from the Lord, but they don't know Jesus like we know Jesus. He's describing in such detail. He's describing in such detail who it is that his son will be as he walks on this earth and as he finally brings a fulfillment to the sacrificial system, that he is the only true lamb, and you see him over and over and over again. And here in Isaiah 40, chapters 40 to 66, church, you will see Jesus prophesied in the Old Testament, our Savior, our deliverer, the final Lamb of God. Isaiah 43 verses 1 to 3 says this. Now this is what the Lord says to you, the Lord communicating to the prophet Isaiah as he speaks to the Israelites. The one who created you, Jacob, and the one who formed you, Israel. This is God calling on the name Jacob, and he's describing the nation of Israel here. Do not fear. Aren't you so thankful that God has not given us a spirit of fear? Come on. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and the rivers will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, and the flame will not burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, and your Savior. Last week, we talked to, as Pastor Barry was here. How many of you guys enjoyed Pastor Barry's message last week? Wasn't that incredible? Oh, that man. In our prayer meeting beforehand, I let them know that Pastor Barry was speaking, and there was this, yeah, that's awesome. And then a couple of our beautiful members leaned over. They said, Pastor Mitch, nothing against you. I said, guys, I'm just as excited. I was so just filled and challenged as Pastor Barry brought the word, and I loved how he talked about tone. And here we see the exact same God. Right? Chapters 1, verses 39 is the same God that speaks here in Isaiah 40 to 66. Brings conviction. He lets them know what is going to happen because of the rebellion. And then it's simply a change in tone. But let me tell you how much I love you. Even as you walk into exile, church that is here this morning, even as the storms rage on, receive this promise today. Maybe you've been in that place, or maybe you're in that place right now where it just seems so dark and you don't know where it is you can find the light. Or maybe the storm is raging and the winds are blowing and you know, God, I built my house on this solid foundation, but I feel just as vulnerable as the people that are building it on the sand. And the wind is blowing and I hear the foundation of this house. I feel it in my bones, God. There's creaking and there's nervousness, or maybe there's anxiety, or maybe there's fear. What if it's not enough to build your house on the solid word of God? People this morning, receive this promise today that even though you may pass through the waters, they will not overwhelm you. Hallelujah. Even though the wind may blow, it will not damage the structure that I have put in. Why? Because Jesus is our cornerstone. Even when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. Church, do you know that there is a fourth person in the fire today? Oh, come on. His name is Jesus. And he's with you. The flames will not burn you. Why? Because you are strong enough. Because you just need to get over it. Because you just need to tough through it. Because you just needed somebody to tell you, even though they don't know fully what's going on in your heart and in your mind, oh, you're fine. No. You will be able to breathe and be able to overcome the waters. You will be able to pass through the fire and not be scorched, because it has nothing to do with you. No, at the end of Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3, it says, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, and your Savior." You can do all of these things because he is great and mighty, and he has called you his temple. You are the chosen priesthood. You are the one that he has chosen to use in 2025. Lord, come quickly, yes, but God, please raise up a church that would represent you well. The Bible's so good. Isn't that such a challenge? Isn't that so good? How many of you are looking at the world right now and see it as dark? Yeah? You're the light. Come on. Hello. That's what scripture will tell you over and over and over again. As we go through the book of Isaiah, it's not a book of wow. Like, it's guys, I have called you to be set apart. I initiated the sacrificial system. I walked you through all of Leviticus. And again, I told you about it in all of Deuteronomy, so that you would look different than the nations that surround you, and you look the same. I am the Lord your God. I split the waters. I sent the manna. I did all of these things. And yet you've looked at the other idols and said, well, maybe they've got it figured out, though. The darkness will not overcome the light. And church, I just want to let you know that God's word will never be proven false. It has stood the test of time, and it will stand the test of time. Young people in this room, the word of God is defensible from left and up and right and down. And smarter people than your friends have tried to disprove the Bible, and they're still trying today. And it's just not going to happen. It's just not. If you're here in this room and your friends bring some really compelling arguments, bring them here. Bring them here. We'll talk about it. We got a guy in the church, Nathaniel Jones. He's way smarter than me. You sit with him, you're not going to understand, and then we'll get there. It's good. But he loves the Bible, and he loves it. There are other people in this room that have wrestled through it. There is apologetics after apologetics. If the enemy could disprove the Bible, he would have done it already, but he can't and he won't. It is the solid, structural word of God. Go back, church. Look at the church fathers if you're here today and maybe you're not a young person. Maybe it was described over the weekend, you're not a young person, you're just more mature, right? That's good. I like that. I love that. It just fills in the space for all the rest of us, right? Right? Even for our young adults that are 38 and you're like, I'm still a young adult. Come on, guys, right? You're more mature. That's all right. That's welcome to the group. Right? We earned our gray hair. It's good up here. It's good. The word of God is defensible. We can stand on his solid word. And if you're here this morning, and maybe you're caught up in the algorithm of people trying to disprove the Bible, I just want to let you know it's not going to happen. You can go back and read the church fathers, Augustine, and all of these incredible, they dealt with the exact same arguments. Why? Because the weapons of the enemy don't change. He's still a liar. He's still a thief. He's still trying to destroy. He doesn't have any new. He's not a creator. The production team's probably so tired of me. I'll just do it in jest. Right? Is this on? He's not the same. He's not God. He's not God. There is one God, and he lives within you. And so there's defense for Scripture. But as Jesus walks the Israelites through Isaiah, the greatest defense for God is to be us. Jesus alive in us. Our lives looking so different, right? In the world, we're dealing with it. We see the same thing, but not of the world. Because no matter how dark it gets, we see the light. It's right there. It's right there on the wall. Do you see it? There's your light. It's the cross. No matter how dark it gets, nothing will ever overcome the cross. What Jesus did changed reality forever. And you and I can claim the same promise that even when we pass through the waters, he will be with us and they will not overcome us, no matter how close it gets. Come on, somebody. He will see you through. And you can walk through the fire and you will not be scorched, no matter how hot it gets, no matter how much the enemy will say, see, I told you. No, our God has made that promise that you will not be burned, for he is the Lord your God. And he holds you in the palm of his hands. He is the Holy One of Israel, and he is your Savior. All the rest of these pages talk about redemption. And that's exactly what God wants to do today. He wants to redeem you unto himself. This is who he is. He is our great redeemer. As he's walking the Israelite people through the rest of Isaiah here, I was going to read basically all of chapter 43 and then some of chapter 44. So you could do that on your own. As he walks them through the rest of these chapters, what he is saying to them is, listen, I will bring you to redemption. I will bring the nation of Israel to restoration. I will restore this nation. I will call you back unto myself. Although you are going to enter into a period of exile, I will make your name great. Why? Because I have chosen you and I love you. And even though you have rebelled, even though you have sinned, my mind has not changed about you. I love you with everything that I have, so much so that I'm going to send my son to die in your place. We'll see the nation of Israel as we move from the prophets and we'll see the nation kind of get kind of put back up a little bit and the walls of Jerusalem are remade in Nehemiah. All these different things happen. But eventually what takes place is they end up in Roman captivity when Jesus comes onto the scene. Because the prophecies that take place here in the Old Testament go beyond the nation of Israel as just a gathered people group. The promises that exist here are for the church. Because we have been grafted in. Hallelujah. We have been called by our Savior to attach ourselves to the grapevine through the saving and redemptive power of Jesus. And so, church, this morning, I want to let you know that God wants to redeem you unto himself. I want to encourage you that God wants to restore you. See, something incredible happens on the cross. That when Jesus' side was pierced for us, as his nails were pierced for us, as his feet were pierced for us, as he breathed his last and said, "It is finished." Something incredible happened in that moment. Whereas his life was poured out for us, an invitation was then given. Will you believe? And at the moment of your declaration, from your mouth and in your heart, where you say, I believe that Jesus was more than just a teacher. I believe that he was more than just a good person who lived in history. I believe that he is who he says that he is. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. He said that he is the Son of God. I believe that he is exactly who he says he is. And when you confess that, when you say to the Father, when you say to God, I am ready to stop walking in my own ways and walk in yours, God, will you forgive me? The Bible will tell you in that moment, you are forgiven completely. And your sins have been washed under the blood. And as your sins are washed under the blood, God in his omnipotent, God in his self no longer sees that sin in your relationship with him. When it comes to the sins of the past, the enemy will often try to remind you of them because we remember them, don't we? But God works in this way. And that when your sins are forgiven, he will not remind you of them. The enemy will. The enemy will try to drag you down. But when your sins are forgiven, God is calling you to go on this journey with him. I've often described it because I'm a big comic book guy. It's like in a comic, right? One day when everybody bows and all tongues confess that Jesus is Lord, we will also stand in front of God and give an account of our lives. And it's going to be this incredible moment. But church, you can stand before God today in your quiet place and run through your life with him. And it's this crazy, deep understanding of what's going on here. Some of you know my story of drugs and alcohol and all sorts of different addictions all through the past. I speak of those things only to draw the full attention to the God who truly set me free. See, in that moment that I declared that, God, I don't want to be that person anymore. I want to repent and turn from those things. So forgive me of those things and teach me a new way to go. In that moment, God washed my sins away. Fill your name in that place, right? I'll use the name Mitch because it's my story, but you use your own. In that moment where you said, God, I don't want to be this person anymore. Help me turn from this. Forgive me. He washed your sins away under the blood of the Lord. And it functions in this way that we got to wrestle with to understand. And we'll never fully understand it because I'm telling you this, it's way more beautiful than what I'm about to describe. This is just how I wrestle through it. And so when I go to God and I open up the life of my story and I'm going through all of my comic panels, I still see those panels of all of those extremely poor decisions that I made. And not just poor decisions, if I'm honest, selfish decisions, prideful decisions, looking at different opportunities and saying, well, I know what I want. I know what I think I deserve. And just running fully into those things. Times when I said, I don't really want to get in trouble, so I'll just lie because it's better for me. In all of those moments, I still see those. I still see all those decisions. And so in my time with God, as I'm walking through this comic book of my life, I'll walk through these moments and I'll be like, God, do you still forgive me for that? God, I still feel all these things. And we have to understand that from God's perspective, as he has your exact same book open, he's walking with you through these panels and he says, well, what are you talking about? Well, God, you remember when I told you that If you won't do these things for me, you won't heal my grandma, you won't do all these things. And he's like, yeah, I remember that. Okay. Well, do you see all these decisions that I made? He says, well, I see when you loved your mom and you loved your dad. Mitch, even though, I mean, you still came home for curfew and all these things. Yeah, but God, you skipped 5 or 6 panels. And he says, he turns his book to you. And in those panels where you may see all your poor choices, he sees his son. That's my son right there. That's my son right there. And that's right there and right there and right there and right there and right there. Church, you are forgiven. And he has chosen. He has chosen to see the sacrifice as his son as more than enough. And so the devil will try to tear you down. The devil will try to bring all those things back up. But you have been forgiven and forgiven indeed and completely. And so now it is up to us to look at that same comic that we have in front of us, and instead of seeing those low points in our lives, can you see the one who is greater? God, I remember making that decision, but I will no longer allow the enemy to use the shame of that moment as his weapon to lead me back into his desires for my life. Because I will choose, God, in my heart to see the cross. It's forgiven. It's forgiven. It doesn't mean, church, that some of the earthly consequences that you have to walk, that will still play out. But between you and the Father, it has been forgiven. And so go and sin no more. Come on. Come on. That's what we're getting to here in the Old Testament. It's all pointing to Jesus. Jesus would walk into different people's situations and say, listen, you are forgiven, so go and sin no more. He'd look to his disciples and they're wrestling through everything that they know about what it is, and they're living it in real time. Oh my goodness, the Messiah is here now. And he looks to them and he says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Because what else would you choose to do? Fall in love with sin? Or fall in love with freedom? Fall in love with he who makes a way and can set you free. This morning, if you're wrestling through with this concept, good. Good. Go home and wrestle through. But wrestle it through with God. Wrestle it through with Scripture. Allow yourself to understand that it is God who brings about the redemption. It is God who brings about the restoration. You are going to watch as we continue to go through the Old Testament that the Israelites just don't get it right. Pastor Matt Tapley over the weekend said, God uses imperfect and flawed people because he has no other choice. There's only one perfect. And his name is Jesus. And through him and him alone can we live a forgiven and free life. To continually turn our eyes towards him and to plug our ears to the enemy who is a liar and is looking to kill and steal and destroy. God wants you to live. God wants you to be free. And his desire for your life is that you would be such a light that others whose eyes are clouded by darkness would step back and say, wow, I don't know what that is. Can you tell me? Let's pray. And so, God, I thank you that you are the God of redemption and restoration. Lord, I pray for those who are still living under the blanket of shame, even though you have spoken to them that they are forgiven. God, I come against that right now in the name of Jesus. God, I come against, in the name of Jesus, the desire that we put on you to forgive us over and over and over again for the same thing. That is not scriptural. That is not the power of the cross. That is the lie of the enemy who continually brings up things that you have already settled on our account. And so I speak against that today in Jesus' name. God, I pray that those that have asked for forgiveness would live in forgiveness. God, I pray that those who have said, God, I see this thing, I repent of that thing, help me to turn and walk anew, then today, God, let it be anew. And God, I call on your strength that repentance would truly play out. Sometimes the enemy has used that shame to make it seem less when we move forward in sin. Sometimes, God, the enemy uses that shame of the past to make it easier for us to simply sin again. But you have said, you are forgiven, so go and sin no more. What has been done has been covered in the blood of your son. And so as that temptation comes, may we claim your son in that moment. No, I will not go back to that place. No, I will not indulge in that thing again because I am free and I will not give up the freedom that has been claimed through the blood of Christ. No, because to enter into that sin again, Lord, would be to enter into it afresh. Not again. But afresh. And so, God, would you seal this on us today? God, I remove that weapon from this congregation. God, that fiery dart that the enemy has used for too long amongst your people. That new temptation that is coming is less damaging because we've already participated in it before. God, I remove that fiery dart in Jesus' name. And instead, God, we shine your light. Holy God, help us to be a holy people following after your Son. Help us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And in this moment, may we be in awe of what happened on the cross. You have forgiven us. In Jesus' name, amen.